It's always flattering, but nerve-wracking when investors ask us, hey, when is your next deal? It's flattering, of course, because we appreciate that they're thinking of us and that they're looking to invest more capital with us. But it's nerve-wracking because if we don't have a deal on the horizon, then we're stressed out to get another deal. And that's always a perpetual challenge with the acquisitions process. And the acquisitions process is slightly divorced from capital raising. If you're just focused on acquisitions, you're just trying to buy deals, trying to buy deals. You're not really thinking about what do investors want and is now a good time to buy deals and how big of a deal can we buy based on how many investors want to participate. So marrying the two elements, acquisitions and capital raising, is definitely more art than science and something that we spend a ton of time doing. But we know that we are deal constrained when we're hearing more investors bug us about a new deal rather than us chasing investors for their capital, right? So it's a good place to be, but it puts pressure on the acquisitions team to find that new deal that we so desperately need. Now, of course, it would be easy to slip up and maybe to reduce how stringent we are in our acquisitions process and buy a deal that maybe is a little bit cuspy just because we have investors that are interested and we know that we can raise the capital and get the deal done. Right? That is not what we want to do because that's thinking short term and it's not thinking long term. Thinking long term is making sure that every deal we do is in the best interest of our investors on a long term basis so that we can grow together and build a track record and relationships over years and decades rather than just try to close a deal and get a small win today. Right? That's not how we operate and that's not what we believe in. So why is it that today we have a lot of investors asking us, hey, when is your new deal? What's going on with deal flow? Why is deal flow so light? And there's actually a couple things going on in the market right now, which is making deal flow lighter than normal. Now, of course, deal flow is much lighter than the peak transaction activity that occurred in 2021 and in the first half of 2022. Those were record transaction activity times. Nevertheless, transactions are way down now and they're down below the average. And in our space in particular of multifamily acquisitions and buying core plus and value add deals, and these days we're even looking at new developments, so new construction properties, properties that are recently constructed, now we're really at the moment analyzing the spectrum of multifamily acquisitions. And starting from the Class A space with new development, going all the way to the B space and to the C space, I'm just going to walk through what's going on in the market and why it's very difficult to get deals done. So starting in the A space, you have deals that are stabilized, they are performing well, and the sellers have positive equity in those deals. So the sellers would potentially be open to selling, but these sellers are most often not experiencing physical distress, right, because they own these nice assets. And perhaps most often these assets are owned with permanent financing and maybe even fixed rate debt. So then these owners are experiencing no distress and no incentive to sell in what is otherwise an unattractive market to sell in. So while these sellers are open to selling, they're not beholden to the market and they don't feel the need to sell right away. So if they don't get their price, they're just not really interested in selling, which is not good for a group like us who we, at this moment in time where the market is, we kind of need the seller to feel some pain in order for it to be a good buy for us. That's just the nature of the beast in today's market. And that's really driven by interest rates, which have pushed up cap rates, right? So it doesn't matter if a property is performing just the same way today as it was 2 years ago. That same property is just not worth as much because cap rates are different today. And that's our entry point today. The one caveat in the Class A space where there is some opportunity is buying from developers. Developers are typically merchant builders, which means they look to buy land, build the asset, lease it up, and then sell it as quickly as possible. So with that business model in mind, right now is not a great time to sell these new developments, but as a developer, you may have an incentive to sell for a price that you're not in love with so that you can recycle your capital, right? Get your cash out of that deal, buy a new project, build it, and do what you do best as a developer, which is build property. So we're seeing opportunity more so from buying from developers building brand new product. However, that's just always a super competitive space. You're buying brand new deals. And one of the challenges that we've run into, which is a new challenge for us associated with buying brand new deals, especially in today's environment where supply is coming to the market at record levels, it's really hard to do your pro forma rents. We spend a ton of time on rent comps and putting together our business plan to justify our pro forma rents. So that's always hard. But on these deals, because they're a brand new deal coming to the market, you're almost setting a new high for the pocket that you're in. So it's very hard to comp it, right? If you're looking at the next best property, but your property is the best, well, should your rents be $100 more? Should they be $500 more? This comp game now becomes more of an art than a science. And also it kind of comes down to how aggressive you're willing to be, because certainly there's going to be other buyers in the market that are willing to be aggressive. And they're not only willing to be aggressive about where they stabilize their rents at, they're willing to be aggressive on how quickly they burn off concessions, because concessions all across the country are rampant in the new development space, because as there's all this new supply being built and they're looking to lease up, right, there's a competition for tenants in that space. So if this brand new property A versus brand new property B is competing for the same tenants, they're going to be offering concessions, right? We're looking at deals where they're offering a $1,000 move-in incentive and they'll give you a $1,000 gift card, right? And that all matters. If you factor that in, that's a 13% discount on rent. That's super meaningful. And how do you underwrite that? Are you going to just assume that that goes away magically in 6 months, 12 months, 24 months? Right? We know that this supply pipeline is big, but it's going to run out eventually. New supply is going to stop coming online, really, I think, by the end of 2025. That's a long ways to go, but there is an end in sight. But it still is a difficult thing to underwrite nonetheless. So that's the Class A space. Moving on to the B and C space, this is where things are a little bit more exciting, perhaps, but less tractable. What I mean is, there's more exciting things happening in the B and C space because there's more physical distress and more financial distress. These are low quality assets that have been historically, over the last 5 years, purchased by less sophisticated and less well capitalized owners. And a lot of these deals have been financed with short-term floating rate debt, which has gone the wrong way against these owners. So if you bought a couple years ago with the business plan to raise rents and flip out at an attractive cap rate, that has not happened. It's been difficult on the NOI side because your revenue is probably missing pro forma and your expenses are probably missing pro forma because of the dramatic increases in property taxes and insurance. So your NOI, best case scenario, is kind of really where it was when you bought the deal. Maybe it's a little bit higher, right? Maybe it's 50 basis points of yield on cost or cap rate higher than when you entered, but then your debt side of the equation is all upside down because your starting interest rate was 3.5 and now it's 8.5, and that's not a pretty picture. So there's both physical and financial distress. And when that happens at the same time, on the same property, that's really difficult to survive. And those deals are struggling to the point where when we're looking to buy those deals, because the owners of those properties are now desperate. So they're looking, how do I get out of this situation? Can I refi? Can I do a capital call? Can I sell the property? And can someone bail me out? The reality is no. Someone cannot bail you out because we, like everyone else in the market, when we're underwriting that deal, we're looking to reset that basis. We're looking to come in with fresh debt, and we need to come in at a new lower price that justifies the risk of cleaning up the mess and justifies the increased interest rates that we are seeing in today's market. With all that being said, that means that our offer price in many cases on these types of deals are below their loan amount. So if you just imagine they bought a previous owner bought the property for $50 million a couple years ago, and they put on $40 million of debt on the property. Well, in many of these difficult circumstances, that property is now worth $35 million. I'm just throwing out random numbers here, right? Just to make the point. So if our offer price is $35 million, but their loan amount is $40 million, then if they take our offer, they can't even pay back their lender the $40 million that they owe. And that pretty much shuts things down and kills any opportunity for there to be a sale to go through. So the way I picture this is, okay, the market is comprised of buyers and sellers, and there's a bid-ask spread, right? The buyer wants to pay, let's just say 40, and the seller wants 43, and then there's a bidding process in a market, and they find the middle, and the deal gets done at 41.5. Well, for these lower quality assets, for these opportunistic buys, it's no longer just up to the buyer and the seller to make a deal here. The lender is in the middle. The lender is holding things up. And from what I'm seeing, a discounted payoff would allow a transaction like that to proceed, right? The lender would say, okay, fine, you owe me 40, but your buyer's only willing to pay 35. All right, I'll take 35 and then we'll call it even. I don't have to foreclose on you. Everything is square. But we're not seeing that because lenders would rather foreclose, you know, basically just foreclose. They take the deal back and then they can, they own the property in their REO. And I'm not sure exactly how that works on their end, but perhaps they don't have to mark it down on their portfolio or in their book. I'm not sure, but I know that there's a lot of disincentives for a lender to really realize the loss and or mark to market their position, because as a lender, that would be a very uncomfortable thing to actually realize on paper that, hey, that $40 million loan I made is really only worth 35 today. That's not good for a lender, because then they look at the rest of their portfolio and they see, oh, well, you know what, that deal and that deal and that deal are probably in the same boat. And now all of a sudden this great loan book that they had is not so great anymore. Those are some of the harsh realities, the vicissitudes of today's market and what makes different parts of the market difficult to transact in, right? You've got the Class A space, which, you know, frankly, has gotten more competitive in the last couple months because of the lack of transactability in the B and C space, really primarily the C space. But you've got a lot of buyers on the sidelines that want to transact. They can't buy the Class C deal because it's worth less than the debt basis. So now they're looking at the A product because they're looking for something that they can buy. And now there's more buyers crowding in to the A space. This is similar to what happened during COVID, which was commercial real estate investors cycled out of hospitality and out of retail and out of office, frankly, absolutely, and cycled into multifamily and industrial. So you have all these investors that used to spread their capital out amongst five asset classes now crowd into just two, multifamily and industrial. And that's one of the reasons of many, because multifamily and industrial have their own reasons for being so amazing. But when you have this crowding effect where all this capital that used to be dispersed amongst these different asset classes and strategies funnel into just these two asset classes, that bid up the prices and it shot down the cap rates. And that was a trend that was exacerbated during COVID because, of course, what happened during COVID, you had uncertainty about the world, uncertainty about travel, so hotels were no good. Work from home, offices were no good. People weren't leaving their homes. Retail, no good, right? Amazon doubled in value. Retail storefronts, not so much. And now we're seeing a similar rotation of focus by investors, but I'm focused specifically on the multifamily sector, where to me it seems like people are focusing less on the C space and kind of crowding into that A space, which I don't blame them. We're doing the same thing, but that's something that we were even doing before all this because we felt that the C space was particularly hyper-competitive for what was at the end of the day, low-quality product, right? Nothing wrong with buying C-class real estate. You can make a lot of money there, but you have to buy at the right price. You have to have the right team to be able to roll up your sleeves and manage those heavier deals, tougher to run deals. And of course, you need to underwrite them properly and conservatively so you have the right reserves in place to actually handle a heavy lift like that. The worst thing in the world that you could do is overpay for a low quality deal, overlever it, and not have the adequate renovation budget and reserve budget to be able to actually make that deal a success. So that's why we're seeing those things all happen in the C space, and we're seeing people actually struggle and lose capital in that space. So that has been kind of the latest trends that we've been observing in our acquisitions space right now. If you're looking to learn more about investing in the deals that we are actually doing in today's market, fingers crossed, please reach out. You can go to our website, lscre.com.